Real Estate Investment Trust, ATAC, released their interim results. For the 6 months ended December 2020, the company reported that distributable income per share declined by 57.5% to 24.1 billion rand. This compares to a healthy increase of 23.9% in the 6 months ended December 2019. The company noted that the value of its South African portfolio fell by 3.2% in the six-month period, and on this occasion, the board has decided not to give shareholders an interim dividend. Well, to take us through the company's performance, I'm joined on the line by Raj Nana. He's the CFO at ATAC. Thanks very much, Raj, for joining us. Now, your distributable income was down substantially on the year prior. And of course, we know that the property sector has been adversely affected by the health and economic impacts of the pandemic. So just outline the operational experience you had in the period.
100%. I think if you look at our business, we've always communicated to the market in terms of the four drivers. South African portfolio was down 21.8% period on period, and that was, as you say, largely in respect of the pandemic and the impact thereof. We during the period provided about 54 million rands worth of support to our tenants, and felt that it was the right thing to do. These tenants were taking strain as a result of the lockdowns, particularly the restaurants, the gyms, the cinemas.
Yes,
and no doubt going through the next 6 months, there will be a little bit of support that's required there as well.
Yeah.
So I think the South African portfolio, barring the discounts, I think was fairly resilient. We've seen, across the retail portfolio as well as the office portfolio, it held up quite well. And a lot of tenants that needed help survive the worst of it and were trading quite well before going to the sort of second round of lockdowns towards the end of December.
Yeah. What did you see in terms of vacancy rates, and when it came to rental renewals, what sort of renewals were you having to do?
So in the mixed-use and office space, fortunately, we've seen the vacancy rates hold up quite well, as well as in the retail portfolio. But what we have seen in the pockets of leases that we have renewed, rentals are under pressure. We've got some negative reversions coming through both on the retail side and the office side.
Mm-hmm.
But, our occupancy rate is actually up period on period, up to 96.4%. So overall, I think, again, a reflection of the quality of the portfolio.
Yeah. And on average, how long do you lock in your rentals? Obviously, it will depend on each client, but just on average.
Yeah. So typically in the retail space, you end up doing rental transactions between 3 and 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the anchor tenants typically do, 10-year leases. They come up after 10 years and then you lock them in for another 10 years. So it's typically 3, 5, and 10, but the majority of the leases are around 5 years.
Yeah. You note that you saw your rental collection rate improve to 100.6% as at the end of December 2020. Just elaborate on that performance for us.
Yeah, I think what we saw in the previous financial year, the 12 months ending June 2020, obviously the last 3 months of that financial year, particularly difficult for tenants with the level 5 lockdowns prevalent for a majority part of those 3 months, and a lot of the rentals were not collectible. So you had your trade receivables or your lease receivables rather, push out in terms of the aging. But when they began trading, with less restrictions post-June, going up to sort of October, November, a lot of the tenants were in a position to, start making payments again.
Yeah.
And as a result, we actually, collected more than we built in that period, meaning we've collected some rentals that we had built in the previous period.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, again, a good indicator that, there was a good kind of, return in terms of, trading for most of the tenants.
Yeah. We understand that you had to sell a stake in your European asset to help bring down your debt levels. So how are you guys looking now in terms of your loan-to-value ratio?
Yeah, look, I mean, the opportunity came. We were approached by two separate buyers for some of the shares that we held in Mass. We assessed those opportunities at the time, and I think it made sense for us. If there were quick executions between the two transactions, we realized just, under 900 million rands worth of cash proceeds. So it made sense at the time, and we've got a remaining stake that we'd like to hold for a longer-term return. But in terms of gearing levels, they did pick up a little bit, around 46.3% at period end, up from 45.7% from the end of June, and really as a reduction in the valuations of the property portfolio. They were down on the like-for-like basis by 3.2%, which contributed to the higher gearing level.
So you have assets in Nigeria and Ghana. How have those markets been faring? Were the lockdowns worse or better than what we've been experiencing here in South Africa?
I think similar. I think both jurisdictions had different types of lockdowns. I think they, towards the end of it, didn't have a kind of second round of lockdowns that we've experienced in South Africa, but it did contribute to lower trading conditions, lower turnovers. But we've seen some of the footfalls return in those markets, but still challenging times in those jurisdictions.
Yeah. So with the economic impact of COVID-19 and your numbers having been hard hit, is there any further scope for disposals?
Yeah, we're currently under cautionary. We issued a cautionary announcement a few weeks ago in respect of a property disposal that we're quite far down the line with a potential buyer. And notwithstanding that particular transaction, we are in discussions with other buyers on some smaller assets.
Yeah.
So I think the disposals are taking a little while longer. You're seeing buyers being a bit more cautious, availability of capital, being less abundant than it was maybe 12 or 18 months ago. But there's, still buyers looking for good quality assets. And, our tail end of assets is relatively small. And so some of the assets that we are chatting to potential buyers are good quality. And so there's definitely interest.
Yeah.
But it's taking a little while longer to close for sure.
I suppose the dilemma for you guys, at board level or whatever is, to ensure that while you dispose of assets that are attractive, that you don't actually throw out the baby with the bathwater.
No, 100%. It's a fine balance to find. And I think what we've been saying as a management team already last year is that, we focus on capital structure and improving that and ensuring that we've got liquidity to ride the uncertainty with the pandemic.
Yeah.
And at that stage, there's a lot more uncertainty. But I think, prudency in the current market is very important. And, we've still got an excellent quality portfolio in South Africa, and so no doubt after a few disposals, we'll still have a very big and quality portfolio.
Yeah. So a lot of the things that you've just said now probably speak to this next question, but it's my final one, and I'll ask it nonetheless. So with your earnings down, you've chosen not to give shareholders a dividend or distribution this time around. What's the outlook for the balance of this year, and are you in a position yet to give us a signal as to when you're likely to start resuming distributions?
Yeah, so actually the decision not to pay an interim distribution this year was already taken in June last year, when the board considered the pandemic and the importance of preserving liquidity. So at the time we didn't pay out the full year dividend for 2020, and we said we wouldn't pay out one for the interim dividend this year. And I think there's been other REITs that kind of followed suit, or at least are trying to preserve their liquidity by not paying out distributions. I think the next couple of months will determine what kind of position REITs are going to be in terms of trading,
yes,
liquidity, etc. I think for us, capital structure and liquidity is still quite a big focus point.
Mm-hmm.
But we also don't want to, we're also focusing on where the trade is. And, if there is a third wave, which it does seem like there will be, what's the extent of that and what's government's response going to be in terms of restrictions? So there's a number of factors to be taken into account, but, we're trying to remain prudent.
That was Raj Nana. He's the CFO at Attack.